Thank you very much. Thank you guys for showing up tonight. I thought this morning when they didn't announce tonight's service, I thought I was off the hook, but nobody agreed with me, so. You know, I kind of like to start some of my sermons with a testimony because I don't always get up and testify on sacrament. So I like to share the good news in my life with you when I do get the opportunity. So everyone knows it's May, it's graduation month. It seems like for years there was no graduations I had to attend, and now it's Libby's year to graduate, and everybody that I know has a kid that's graduating college or high school or something, and it's also budget season at work. And it's also vacation time at work. And this week, I was so blessed. You know, last week, heard a great sermon in the morning, went home with thoughts. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, I've got this one job I have to do this week. And I fly to Florida Monday, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got the rest of the month to get my budgets done. I've got today, I'm going to knock this out. This is simply a customer issue. I'm going to go knock this out. I'm going to jump a plane and be home late tonight. I'm going to have the rest of the week. I land, my boss calls and says, "You done with your budgets?" And I said, "No. Oh, by the way, I have two to do this year instead of just one." He says, "You done with your budgets?" I said, "No, I just got the paperwork on Friday to do this." And he says, "Oh, I need it by this Friday." Both of them. And I was like, "We have the rest of the month." "No, you have until Friday." So my heart sank and I started praying. I get to the account. It wasn't a in and out. I had to go back the next day, spent the whole next day there. And in the meantime, calls started pouring in. And I'm praying. I'm thinking, now I got to go to Ohio. Now I have to go here. Now I have to go there. Well, I was lucky. I got to go home, and because Ohio got delayed, thank you, FedEx, and so did all the other calls. Well, it turned out everything that we were able to do over the phone fixed everything. I went home. I did my budgets. I got them both knocked out, and I had Thursday and Friday to think about what I was going to say tonight. It was a great blessing. I thank the Lord every day. Every time something came back and I didn't have to go here or go there. The Lord is great. He knows that I am a weak vessel when it comes to standing up here. This is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And I appreciate that He's with me. And I know that you guys hopefully have a prayer in your heart for me tonight, because if He's not with me tonight, it's my fault. Pray that never happens. So for quite some time, I've been praying about, well, just life, right? And I've noticed over the past year or so that in my prayers, I've added a prayer of courage, not only for myself, but for those around me. And I never really thought about why I started doing that. It just never occurred to me why I would start praying for courage. You know, when I get on flights, oh boy, I'm praying for His strength. I'm praying for His comfort and His peace, for the pilot, co-pilot, and the crew. I'm praying knowledge that they'll do their jobs above and beyond, and we will have a safe, uneventful flight. Nothing greater than a safe and uneventful flight. But I've added courage into my prayers lately, or over the past year, and I really didn't think twice. You know, I want my loved ones who are sick with physical ailments, I want them to have courage. Because there's nothing, I can't speak from my own experience, because I've never been sick. But you have to have courage when you're sick. Otherwise, you just give up. So I've been thinking a lot about courage lately. And I guess it's, courage has always been kind of a fantasy for me. I'm not a courageous person. But I put myself in situations that could happen. I'm one of those people. I'm not a what if kind of person, but I think of myself as someone who is trying to prepare for a worst case scenario. And I want to think that I'm going to be courageous in one of those times that it happens, and it's never happened. Thank God. But I've just always had that feeling inside me that I want to be that. I want to be that courageous person just once in my life. Has anyone else ever thought about being courageous? I mean, I look around the room and I see so many courageous people that have been examples in my life since I came here, since I became a part of this body, you know? But is it just me? Is it just me with this fantasy of being someone who can be there for someone sometime? You know, that sermon this morning, yes, Jerry, it's hard to follow. Someone as courageous as Trevor. That's someone that goes out into the world and it doesn't matter the situation. He's right in the middle of it. And the whole time he's preaching the gospel, he could probably be elbows deep holding somebody together, but he'd be preaching the gospel to that person. The courage of that man, and then I got to follow him. Courage, in the Strong's Hebrew, it says it's a primitive root to be alert, physically or mentally courageous, right? You know, when you think of courage and you think of the definition of courage, when I thought about courage, I'm always thinking in the sense of the flesh. You know, I'm thinking, am I going to be able to stand up and go at it, right? Isn't that what you think of when you go see a movie and you think somebody's being courageous in a movie? It's always physical. But there's more to it. It's got to be mental, too. You have to be mentally courageous. Steadfastly minded, strong, stronger, establish, fortify, harden, increase, prevail, strengthen oneself, make strong. But you also have to be courageous in your heart. You know, the Strong's Hebrew says, courage is not only physical, it's mental. But isn't our heart where our spirit is held? We have to be spiritually courageous. I think that's been why it's been on my mind, why it's in my prayers. Because I've struggled and I still struggle with being spiritually courageous. I'm not a Trevor Rat. When I first started preaching, I was afraid to get into conversations with people because I was ignorant. I felt I was ignorant. I didn't want to get in a conversation with someone about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, because I felt they would just blow me out of the water, and then I was just shamed. I knew nothing. I was not spiritually courageous. The Greek says, the Strong's Greek says, another form is to exercise courage, to be bold, have confidence. I was lacking in confidence. So I've got some notes. I'm going to just read some single, maybe a couple verses, and I'm going to tell you what I feel like they said to me when I read them. So first, I've got a few little things I jotted down. Courage with purpose. Just keep these in your pocket. Courage is physical strength of body and mind. Courage is confidence from knowledge. Courage can be confidence from fellowship. We can have false courage, mind or mood altering things, the world wants us to be wants us to have false courages. Pride will give you false courage. Joshua chapter 1. Starting at the 5th verse. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here's Joshua. Joshua is taking over for Moses. He knows he's got this responsibility. He's being given this responsibility. When I read this, if I put myself in his seat, I'm ready to run. I mean, I think of this man. He's being given this great responsibility. He's going to be the leader of the chosen people to go into Israel. And I think of my own little self here when I was called to be a minister, and just the things that I've gone through, the struggles that I've gone through, and I think about this man that's being given these responsibilities. And I think about how wonderful it is. He says he hears God's voice. God himself is saying, if you stick to these laws that were given to you from Moses, everything will be fine. And yet in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm still going to run. I'm still afraid. I think back to times when somebody asked me to preach and I said no. You know why I said no? Because I was afraid. I was dismayed. I had no courage, no faith in myself. And my faith was weak in God. Joshua 2. I'm going to read the first 11 verses here. You all know this story. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into the harlot's house, named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and laid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." You know, as I was doing this, I was writing down the names that would come to mind of who I thought were heroes in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. And Rahab was one of the first ones. And it's not a story that I go to a lot. And I'm thinking, here's a woman, a harlot. What do you think a harlot is? I mean, I know what I think of when I think of a harlot. And I'm thinking, this is one of the people that we would look down upon. She's one of the lesser people of a society. But yet she had such courage because she had knowledge of what God had done for these people. But she took courage and helped these two people, knowing that she could lose her life if she was caught doing so. But her courage outweighed her fear. Joshua 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, "I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath forgotten you. Behold, I have divided unto you by the lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward.
and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Those are the very words that God spoke to him when he first took Moses' place. He's passing on that knowledge, that wisdom, in hopes that the people who follow after him will have the courage that he had and the gift that was given to him. Is all courage rewarded? I'm going to skip here. No. Yes. I just answered my own question wrong. Yeah, it is, right? You're rewarded if you have a great courage and you do well. You're also rewarded if your courage is lacking. It's not a good reward. I'm not going to read this. This is a lengthy reading. I'm not going to read it. Amos chapter 2, 1 through 16. Amos is sharing. He's prophesying. He's telling them what's going to happen to them because they started worshiping other gods. They started following after the beliefs of the people who were around them that were not of their own tribes. They went away from God and his commandments. They went away from the Mosaic law. And he goes on to tell them in the last few verses, he's talking about the powerful men. You know, they've become prideful, they've become arrogant, there are great soldiers among them, there are great warriors among them, and he's telling them that it doesn't matter how fast you are, how strong you are. And in the 16th verse, it says, "And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in the day, saith the Lord." You know, no courage is great enough to withstand the wrath of God. You can have you can be the boldest person to play football, to be a soldier, to do whatever it is. You can be so courageous and so bold and do so many things, but if it's not for the work of God, and God gets upset with you, it doesn't matter how strong you are, because God is greater, right? Page 498 in the Book of Mormon. Alma chapter 24, verse 31. "And it came to pass that when the Lamanites saw that he began to flee, they took courage and pursued with vigor." You know, how many of you have ever been in a situation where all of a sudden you feel like you have the upper hand? I have. I mean, not often. I'm usually the underdog, the loser. I got beat at axe throwing by my buddy who had a stroke and has hardly any use of his body. Come on! He threw that first bullseye. I was humiliated. I couldn't throw the axe again. But how often do we let ourselves be caught up in the moment? And that moment might be where we feel that we have the upper hand in the situation. The Lamanites did. The Lamanites did multiple times in the Book of Mormon. They saw it and they took it, right? That's what we do, human nature. Verse 76 on page 502. And they were all young men, and they were exceeding valiant for courage, and also for strength and activity. But behold, this was not all. They were men which were true at all times in whatsoever thing they were entrusted. Right? Kevin, you're still kind of a young man. Cameron, is he courageous? Is he confident? Is he unbreakable?
Confident, thinks he's unbreakable.
Thinks he's unbreakable. Exactly. As young men and young women, we have a courage, a confidence about ourselves when we go about things most of the time. Not saying everyone, but for the most part. I know I was. I was a daredevil. There wasn't a motorcycle I wouldn't ride. There wasn't anything anyone could dare me to do that I wouldn't take that dare and do it. I was invincible. I had courage, right? I didn't think of it that way at the time. It was just the thing to do. But as young people, as people without knowledge, we can go at things and not think through them. We can have that false courage. I'm not saying that that's what this is, but to be someone who thinks that your physical abilities are your most valuable strengths, that's a false courage. Alma 26, page 514. 62nd verse. And it came to pass that the Lamanites took courage and began to pursue them. Here we go. They thought they had the upper hand again. Began to pursue them, and thus were the Lamanites pursuing them with great vigor, when Helaman came upon their rear with his 2,000 and began to slay them exceedingly, insomuch that the whole army of the Lamanites halted and turned upon Helaman. You know, courage can get you in trouble. Yeah, it can. If you're overconfident, if you're prideful about something, and you're looking at it like boldness and courage, and you're not seeing the whole picture, like the Lamanites. They were tricked. They were getting ready to face the Nephites, and the Nephites turned and ran. But the whole plan was to get them to turn their back. It was strategic, right? They had false courage. They thought they had the Nephites on the run. They thought they were going to win. Here we go. We've got them now. That false courage. How many people in here in your minds think, how many of you have been trapped in that situation? Because it is. It's literally a trap, just like the Lamanites were stuck here. You get yourself so built up that you're on top, that you are going to be the victor, and you don't see what's coming from behind. I played football. It was easy to do. I've got the ball. I'm running. Oh! And the next thing you know, you missed about 3 seconds of your life because you just got creamed from behind. False courage is one thing that is, it's been a battle. It is. Every time I think I'm doing well in life, something comes along to take my feet out from under me. When I think I'm on the path that God wants me to be on, and I'm not listening,
he takes me out. Right? I get that false courage as I'm going along. I'm steady. I'm going. This is good. And then it's not there. Something happens that I have to face. Something that I would rather walk away from. I've been accused of not being confrontational. I get it. You have to be someone who can stand up and do it. I'd rather walk away. Go over here and think about it. And then discuss it. Or if possible, just forget about the whole thing. But that doesn't happen. You know, you get going, your courage level is growing, things are sailing along well, and then things are taken out from under you. That seems to be the theme of life. Let's go to 5:21. Chapter 26, the 133rd verse. And we did take courage with our small force which we had received, and were fixed with a determination to conquer our enemy and to maintain our lands and our possessions and our wives and our children and the cause of our liberty. This is a pretty bold statement, I think, I feel. You know you're outnumbered. You know you don't have the strength to take on whatever it is before you. But yet, well, let's just, before I get to but yet, at this point, this is where most of us in our mortal skin here would be like, whoa, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this because it's suicide. It's not going to come out well for me. They have all the power. They have all the strength. They have everything. And I have this little bitty amount. I can't overpower them. But yet, you know you have to. So what do? You build up courage, right? You convince yourself. This is where your mind starts thinking, and you start having that courage of mind. You have a courage in the body. But most of all, that last statement there, that last, from the last comma on, and it says, and the cause of our liberty. That's important. That's the most important part of that verse. What is it that gives us our liberty, our freedom? Who is it? It's our Savior, right? Our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, well. If I had an opportunity where I knew I was outnumbered, outweighed, outstrengthened, which is pretty much every situation in a physical fight. But I had these things on my mind. I'm going to do this for my family. I'm going to do this for my brothers and sisters. I'm going to do this because Jesus Christ put me here. Trevor Ratt, boom. He said today he was having troubles walking. Here's a man that you put him in a situation and he's not going to think twice about going forward because he can, because he serves Jesus Christ. There's another word. This is there's another word that you can put in place of courage.
another name for courage. It's called faith. Hebrews 11 is awesome chapter. I love it. You know, it's almost a go-to chapter, right? But it gives you so many examples in there of people who had great faith. I'm not going to read it. You know it. But my thing is, almost every one of those verses that has the word faith in it, you could replace faith with courage. So first we have hope, right? First we have hope, then we have faith. Well, what do we do with those? I have faith. I love my Heavenly Father. He gave me such a precious gift. He gave me liberty. I have lacked courage and let my faith waver. They go together. You have to have courage to act upon your faith. What was it that Trevor was saying today? We have to be in service of our God by serving our fellow man. Like I said before, I would just as soon not tell someone I was a minister as to get in a conversation with. This was years ago. Now I enjoy these conversations. Okay? I enjoy them when I get the opportunity. I enjoy them. But without courage, your faith can grow very stagnant. One of the most memorable, courageous moments that you can think of, besides Jesus Christ, outside that, Abraham. I think of that story when he had to take Isaac and put him on the altar. No way am I going to take this child that took a miracle to begin with to have and sacrificing. I don't understand, God. Why would you want me to do that? But he did it. He was courageous and he followed God's word. Am I strong enough? This is one of those scenarios where I would try and picture, what would I do? I know the story. I know the outcome. But really, would I be as courageous as Abraham? How are you in your life? Are you courageous when it comes to your spiritual life? So in Matthew, Jesus, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Oh boy. There it is, that stumbling block that I have dealt with for years. You know, I was fearful. I was fearful, fearful, fearful. I was not confident. You know, Kevin, when I was a young person in this church at 30, listening to those same sermons, yeah, they didn't always sit with me. I didn't understand them, that practice of preaching fear. Fear in our hearts is terrible. It's horrific. When I read the word fear, when it says fear God, in the Bible, I think of my dad. Growing up, my dad was a mechanic. I had two brothers that were motorheads. And, you know, they wanted to build stuff and go fast.
But growing up, I got my first motorcycle. And my parents didn't tell me, of course, my mom, oh, you're going to hurt yourself. My dad takes me aside. And he says, boy, just remember, you need to fear the power of that motorcycle. Don't fear riding that motorcycle, but fear the power of that motorcycle. Respect it. Treat it right. Do what you know is right, because that will hurt you. So when it says fear God, I think we need to respect God. Back in Amos, if we don't respect God, his wrath will overcome all. He will wipe away any and all courage in his way. We don't want that. We want to respect the power of God, but I love God. I see things so much clearer now in my life because of the gospel, because of you, because you all love God. You don't fear God, do you? Is there anyone here that truly shakes and quakes when you hear your Heavenly Father's name brought up? No, you respect him. He gave you liberty. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. This woman touched Jesus. She had so much courage to fight. She was sick and she fought the crowds just so she could touch his. The courage it took for her to fight her way through that crowd. This is when I read it. But she touched him because she had courage and faith that if she could get close to him, that she'd be healed. I want courage like that. I have a great faith, but I still question myself. And I'm sure our young people sometimes question themselves. Why is that? Kevin gave a good example, but I think we should be preaching more or teaching more about being courageous in our faith. These young people today are struggling with a lot of things that we haven't, and they are. Society tells us they're in a mentally challenged way across the board. These kids are challenged and they're depressed and they're this and they're that. They don't have confidence. And when they come to church, they need to be taught and shown courage, like today, like Kevin last week, to stand up here and say the things that are right. It may offend someone, and that will be taken care of. But if it's right, say it. If it needs to be said, say it. Courage. It takes a lot of courage to get up here by anyone, because God has chosen you to speak to his children. That's a great responsibility. Like faith, a small amount of courage can be greatly rewarded. So here's the sickly woman, makes her way through the crowd, touches his garment, and he turns, and he's healed. She's healed. I have one more reading. It's kind of lengthy. I'm going to close with it. It's an Acts. But I want you to think about the power. I want you to think about the courage. Acts chapter 3, starting at the first verse. Now Peter and John, now these are disciples that we know were bold and courageous when they walked with Jesus. But here we are after Jesus has ascended. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried of... Let me start that one over. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Common beggars laying at the door at the gate to the temple. And Peter and John are walking by. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. He was asking them for money. He was using his situation at the gate of the temple to feed himself. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So here's this guy. He's laying there. He's a beggar. He's asking for money. And these two men turn around and they look at us. Immediately he thinks, okay, great. This is it. They're going to give me some money. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The courage that John and that Peter and John have, right? I mean, think about it. I personally, I'm going to admit to you guys all my sins and weaknesses. I just, rise up and walk. If I saw a beggar on the street, I'd be afraid to do that. I wouldn't have the courage to do that, right? Would you? I mean, the first thought that comes to mind is, I'd reach out and say, "Rise up and walk." Somebody crack me in the head and call me crazy. Right? I mean, that's the way we see ourselves in this world. I don't want that. I want to be like John and Peter. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath
hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I have an understanding why courage is now a part of my prayer, a part of my daily prayers, because I lack courage. And because I lack courage, I'm not fulfilling my duties as the servant that I was called to be. You know, I stand before you and confess that sin, and I repent of that. I want to be courageous. I'm going to be courageous because I understand how courageous Joshua had to be, how courageous Job had to be, Rahab, Abraham, Helaman, Alma. And how did they be so courageous? Because God himself says, be of good courage. He is there for us if we are there for him. And if your courage lacks, your service lacks. Thank you.